Hello again and welcome to another episode of Real Talk with RJ. If this is your first time listening, please don't forget to like and subscribe and follow so you know exactly when we release brand new episodes. Also, don't forget to share. If you like what you hear, share it with everyone you know. I know it's been a very long time since the last time I have recorded a podcast, but I have not forgotten about you guys. It's just been very crazy. I'm going to be getting married on the 22nd of July this year, so I've been busy planning my wedding with my fiance. So life has been very, very, very crazy. I've had little to no time to really do anything. I just had an opportunity. Like, I'm actually pretty tired. I woke up and did a number of things that I had to do today. And I'm very tired, but I was like, you know what? I need to get a podcast out there. I need to get a message out and also get some feedback also for some listeners. So I really thank you all for, you know, for being patient with me and jumping on here and listening to these episodes. I really appreciate you guys. If it weren't for you guys, this podcast would go nowhere and the message would not go anywhere. Now, I was really interested as I was watching the Super Bowl this past Sunday. It was really interesting to notice that every car commercial on there was about an electronic vehicle. And, you know, people are like, you know, electric vehicles are green. They're very important. There's so much green. They're great. They're good for the environment and blah, 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 this and that. Yeah, it seems all nice and peachy on, you know, on face value. It really does seem like that's a great angle and that's what we're going for. But I also find it kind of ironic that the number one people, politicians and Greta Thunberg and all these other people that are talking about, oh, we need to be more green. It's really interesting how many thousands and thousands of miles they fly on private jets, which put out far more pollution than any vehicle out there, or a combined amount of vehicles. That one private jet is a waste of fuel. It's a waste of pollution because they could easily fly on a commercial jet and, you know, have to, with the equivalent of carpooling in the air. They can share a flight, but rather than share a flight with other people, no, they want their space. They want to buy a plane for themselves, stretch their legs out and have their own plane to take them out. But they're telling us that we need to get electric vehicles. And honestly, like it doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem fair because there's the old adage, rules for thee and not for me. Those very people who are telling us to get electric vehicles are the people who are out there flying private planes. I guarantee you that if we were all to follow this new law about getting electronic vehicles, you know who will not get electric vehicles? The police department and the politicians who drive from one place to another. They're going to be like, no, we're not going to have time to go out and charge these vehicles or have the vehicles always on charge and everything. We're going to have gas-powered vehicles. So the thing is if you truly believe in something, you're going to follow it as well. You're not going to tell everybody else to follow it and then you don't follow it. That just shows that you truly don't believe in it. You truly don't care about it. And that's the angle that the government's pushing. Whether you're Republican or not, or Democrat, it doesn't matter. Republicans and Democrats in Congress right now are pushing this bill, and it's ridiculous. You know, as a veteran, I look at things that are potential problems. One, let's talk about the batteries that are created for these electric vehicles. The number one manufacturer in the world of those electronic vehicle batteries is China. So yet again, we are outsourcing money to China so that they can make the batteries that are going to be running our cars. Now, let's say we do. Let's say 100% of the cars, or let's say like in 90% of the cars out there become electronic. Like the government gives you incentives and everybody's driving these electronic vehicles. No one else is driving gas-powered vehicles. In fact, they shut all the gas down and stuff like that. The thing is the stuff that is used to charge those vehicles, those electronic vehicles, requires fuel. You're never going to get rid of oil. Fuel is going to be required to power the generators that give you electricity. Fuel is going to be required to move like any type of power. Fuel is not just something that moves your car. It's things that move our life. Everything that gets to us, all the products that get to us have been affected by fuel at some form of another or another. If the politicians really, really care about electronic vehicles, why haven't they started with the airport? Why haven't they built established a contract with Boeing and said, you know what? We're going to give you guys $1 billion to create a fully electronic plane. This plane will have whatever. They don't care about that. Again, if it were that important, it will be their number one focus. But it's not. They had 4 years of just, you know, being in charge of the government. They didn't put this stuff on the top list. They didn't care about this. This is only important when they don't have the majority. That's when they want to start preaching it so that they can put the other side of the aisle down and say they don't care about the government. They don't care about the environment. They don't care about the earth. That's a bunch of BS. Don't fall for it, people. Wake up and realize this is not a good idea. If some people want to have electronic vehicles, that's cool. Good for you. But to make all of America have to drive electronic vehicles, and Biden is already talking about making that a law that all new vehicles have to be electronic. That's a bad idea. At some point, these things are being done in phases. They're starting off by saying, okay, we're going to give you incentives to get green vehicles. Next, no longer can you buy a gas-powered vehicle. After that, they're going to say, we're now going to start taxing and increasing the prices of fuel to be $10 a gallon. We're going to make it so expensive that you can't buy or that you can't afford to have a gas-powered vehicle. Then they're going to start shutting down gas stations. And then after that, they're going to make it mandatory that if you don't have a gas-powered vehicle, then you're going to get fined or you're going to get your car towed. The government's going to come take your car. Something is going to happen. Little by little, they're taking our rights away. And when they're doing it effectively the right way, there is no right way to do evil, but the way they're doing it is strategic so that we think that they're trying to help us. Ronald Reagan once said, the worst words you could possibly hear are, I'm the government, I'm here to help. It's really interesting how true that is. But let's talk about the danger of, let's say all of us became electronic vehicle users. Every one of us in America, or the vast majority of Americans, including the military, we all use electronic vehicles. Are you aware of what happens after a nuclear blast? After a nuclear blast, electromagnetic pulse hits, which damages everything that's exposed that is an electronic device. It will wipe out our entire grid. What's to stop China or any other country that is antagonistic or has animosity toward America? What's to stop them from creating a bomb whose sole purpose is to release an electromagnetic pulse? If all of us were using these vehicles that are all electronic, they can totally minimize or they can totally immobilize our military, our police force, and our citizens by one bomb. And then they can come and invade us. The government is working tirelessly to take away guns from people by using the terms assault weapons. You keep hearing this word, this phrase, assault weapon, assault weapon, assault weapon. Oh, she's shot with an assault weapon. I've said this on a previous broadcast, or I'll repeat it again for anyone who didn't hear it before. An assault weapon is any weapon that is used to assault someone else. I can use a knife, and a knife will be an assault weapon if I use it to assault someone else. A hunting rifle is not an assault weapon. It's used for hunting. It's not assaulting a human being. Now, if for anyone is going to be, you know, nitpicking at that and saying, well, it's assaulting an animal, I'm not talking about that. The definition of, to my understanding, the definition of assault is when one person hurts, harasses, presses upon, or physically hits or strikes a person or human being. That's my understanding of it. But that's not the purpose of this. The fact is that our rights are being taken from us. The government's taking away your guns. And there's nothing wrong with guns. The only time guns hurt other people is when they're misused. A hammer can rob a bank just like a pistol can. A hatchet can rob a bank just like a pistol can. If it's in the hands of the right people, hatchets, swords, machetes, knives, slingshots, paintball guns, like in the right hands, anything can be used to do great damage. But when you have weapons or tools in the hands of the right people, they can do great things like save your life? What if you're a woman who's only like 105 pounds soaking wet in boots, who is about to be robbed and assaulted and God knows what else by a grown man who's like 6'5", who's about 280 pounds. There's no way you're going to beat that person up. I don't care how strong your punches are, unless you know some type of special forces Krav Maga training where you know exactly where to hit a person, knock them down, which the average person does not know that. And the average person does not have that type of training. The equalizer that will be needed for you is perhaps a firearm. Tasers don't always work. Sometimes tasers do nothing to the person that gets struck with them. And sometimes pepper spray does nothing but, you know, irritate the person that is being sprayed. Additionally, there are lots of women out there who buy pepper spray canisters and have no professional training or no proper training on how to use it. So when they actually finally do use the pepper spray, and it sounds easy, like you would think that it's so easy, all you got to do is just take the safety off and squeeze it, and boom, it hits the other person, you're good, you can run. But they don't ever talk to you about the blowback. What happens if it's windy? Or what happens if there's a slight breeze? And when you're spraying the other person, you spray yourself. Some people are, because they're not used to that sensation, they will freeze in their, like in their space. They will freeze right where they stand and start trying to clean their eyes out and start trying to treat themselves rather than run and try to get away so they can treat their eyes. But you have no idea how that pepper spray is going to affect the other person. Sometimes a gun is an equalizer. If somebody thinks about, I'm going to go in this bar and I'm going to shoot everybody up, that person is thinking that, if a person is thinking that, 9 times out of 10, he knows or she knows that the people inside that bar are not packing. They're not carrying weapons. But I'm telling you, if nobody's going to go up into an NRA meeting and try to shoot everybody up, it's not going to happen, because chances are they're going to be carrying. And before they can get one shot off, somebody's already got a bullet in their head. When people are packing and other people know it, they're less likely to become victims. Look at all the states that are open carry. Look at how low gun violence is in those states. It's just a fact. I also find it really interesting that, like, anytime you get arrested, you have the right to remain silent. If you have a DUI and you get in a car accident with somebody, when you get on parole or probation, depending on how, you know, whatever it is, you might not be able to get a license for a period until you finish a certain course, but you'll get your car back. You'll be able to get a car back at some point. You'll be able to drive unless your license is permanently suspended, which is like the sign of a result of repeated offenses of that. But you're always going to get the opportunity to drive. You're always going to get the privilege to drive again. It's just something that's going to happen. Anytime you get arrested, you have the right to remain silent. You have the right to due process. You have the right to be represented by counsel if you cannot afford counsel for yourself, even though most often than not, those lawyers do nothing for you because they're underpaid, overworked, and don't really care. They just want to get a deal and get you out of the way and process you into the system. But you have these rights every time. Even if you're locked up, you have the right to free religion. You have the right to freedom of religion, freedom of press, freedom of speech. You have all these rights that are never taken away from you. Yet even if you commit a crime that has nothing to do with misusing a firearm, your Second Amendment right is automatically taken. I find that very interesting. The government immediately takes away your right to defend yourself. And people are like, well, you know, that's to keep these people out from not using firearms. Well, how come that same protection's not used against people who drive drunk? How come they never get the opportunity to drive? Because remember, if you look in the back of your license or your driver's license, it says this is a card, driving is a privilege. And it acknowledges that. That license is your proof of privilege to drive in that state. So it's not necessarily a right. You don't have the right to drive. It's a privilege in the state. So how come after breaking the law and driving drunk and even getting in an accident in some cases, or in many cases actually, those people get to get their car back. They get to drive again. Yet a person who did that exact same crime, the person who drove drunk, although they lose their license for a little bit and then get it back after they complete the courses, complete the parole and probation and whatnot, they will never be able to use a firearm. If it's a felony, you're done. You can never use a firearm. So how does that make sense? Why is it that they can take away his Second Amendment right, yet they will reinstate to him or her very promptly their privilege. Remember, the word privilege has nothing to do with rights. It is an action that you are allowed to do with circumstances that are attached, or circumstances that require obedience. You know, to various rights. And if you belong to a club, or, you know, like a certain type of club, there are rules and regulations you have to adhere to in order to remain a member of that club. If you don't follow those rules and regulations, then you're dismissed from the club and your privileges are revoked. So, you know, why is it that they don't stop you from being able to drive? Well, because the state makes money off of you driving. Every time you buy gas, they make money. Every time you renew your driver's license, they make money. Every time you move and have to take a new picture or get a new ID or whatnot, they make money. Every time that you register your tags, they make money. Insurance, they make money. They make money off of all that stuff. So they're not going to take that off. But guns, they don't make money off of that. Because you buy bullets and they're not making as much money off of bullets as they are off of gas. Because people don't buy bullets every day, like your average person. People don't buy bullets every week. Your average person doesn't do that. So it's just really interesting to notice the difference. I really wish that I could find an attorney who's willing to take that to court to the Supreme Court level and say, this is a constitutional misuse of rights. It's a constitutional violation, it's a constitutional violation. And anybody that has committed a crime, felony or misdemeanor or otherwise, that has not misused a firearm should never have their Second Amendment rights taken from them. I think that's just fair. You're not showing that you're misusing a firearm. You should have the right to continue to use that firearm or have that firearm, because people change, people grow, people heal. And if you change your ways and become a productive member of society, now you're denied the opportunity and right to protect your family. You can't have a firearm in the house to protect your own family. That's kind of messed up. But you can kill somebody in vehicular manslaughter by driving drunk and get a car again and drive again and carry on with your life. Really interesting. Now, going back to the original point about these electronic vehicles, if the government does have their way and they continue to fight, they're going to take away your right to have a firearm. And they're going to make everyone have green cars. So then we have no way to defend ourselves because we don't have guns anymore because the government's taking our guns away. And we have all electronic vehicles, which are susceptible to electromagnetic pulse. So then we're overran. It really is interesting how we don't see the tax returns of all these politicians telling everyone else to look at Trump's tax returns. I haven't seen Nancy Pelosi's, and I haven't seen anyone ask about Nancy Pelosi's. I haven't seen Chuck Schumer's. I haven't seen Adam Schiff's. I haven't seen any of these people who came in like AOC, who came in a broke bartender, and all of a sudden within 6 years, she's worth $60 million. For a job that pays less than $100,000 a year. How the heck does she get that much money? The math doesn't add up. So there has to be backdoor deals that they're doing because people are not paying them to speak like that. There's other ways that they're making money. And I believe with all my heart that these politicians, I believe that there are Republicans and Democrats that are all about power, that have no care about helping America become stronger and better. I believe that there are Democrats, although I will say personally, I believe that there are few, but I believe that there are Democrats who believe what they believe and they're sincere and they don't care about power. They care about helping people. I believe that there are good on both sides, but I believe a large majority of politicians in office are very crooked and don't care about anything other than power. They're trying to disarm us and they're trying to sell us out to the highest bidder. I believe that other countries, and I believe most likely it's China. That's just my personal opinion. I believe that China is funneling lots and lots of money into the pockets of these politicians, telling them, I want you to get this law passed. We'll give you this much money through this company. That way it's funneled. You can't see it. It doesn't look suspicious. This is an American company, but we're buying this through your company, or we're giving you campaign contributions or this or that. They're doing it smart. to where they're giving them lots and lots of money where they're worth so much money, but their annual paycheck doesn't add up to what they're worth. The numbers don't make sense, but nobody's asking questions because they're too high up. They're untouchable. So if we're all electronic vehicles, and if we're all you know, lacking our Second Amendment, we don't have guns anymore, then if China wants to, they can send a bomb over here, knock our grid off, and completely stop our communications, because most people live don't know how to use a CB radio. And some people are listening right now possibly might go, what the heck is a CB radio? If you don't know what a CB radio is, it's very commonly used by police officers and truckers. It's long range and short wave radio signals that are transmitted from one antenna to another that allow you to communicate with different people. So if you don't know how to use those things, and people can actually keep those things inside protective boxes that will stop them. I forget the actual name of the boxes, but they can keep them in these different boxes that stop them electromagnetic pulse from actually getting through and damaging them. So I find it suspicious. That's all I'm saying, is that I find it very suspicious that the government's pushing for us to go green. And I find it highly suspicious that the government is trying to take away our firearms. Meanwhile, they are protected by people who have firearms. I remember watching a news anchor talk to Mayor Bloomberg, and he was asking him, like, you are protected by armed guards every day. He goes, yes, I am. And he goes, and the anchor goes, do you think that Americans have the same right to protect themselves? And he would not answer the question. Textbook politician. He refused to answer the question directly. He would go around it and answer the question completely different. But think about it again. If drugs were if these people really believed that drugs are horrible, they would not take them themselves. But these people are telling you that guns are horrible, yet they're surrounded by guns. These people are telling you that we need to be more green and stop polluting the air with carbon monoxide and fuel and gas waste in the air. It's horrible, and our country is getting worse, and the earth is getting hotter, and the ice caps are melting, and all this other stuff is going on. Meanwhile, they're flying private chartered jets on your taxpaying dollar. Rather than saying, you know what, I want to save the taxpayers some money. There's no reason we need to be flying on private jets at the taxpayers' expense. We can get a plane. We can fly with the military and fly, like when the Air Force flies, we can fly with them. It's not going to be first class, but we can fly in those planes because they're going to go fly anyway. Let's go with them. Or, you know what, let's go and fly on United or American Airlines. We'll just go fly business or first class. We'll go ahead and do that. Oh, well, we have a large staff. So what? Put them in the plane as well. Buy out the entire plane if you have to. But the fact is that you have no right to use taxpayer-funded money, because they're not using their own money for this. They're using taxpayer funds to give them the luxury life. That's exactly what dictators do. I'm telling you, every king out there, look at Charles. I won't call him King Charles. That's just me personally. I don't know him from Adam, but the things that I have seen about him, the research that I've seen, and I heard this one report a while back from one of the former workers of Buckingham Palace that said that Charles, you know, when Queen Elizabeth was alive, Charles called him in, like he was doing something very important, and Charles called him in because Charles had dropped his pen inside the trash can, and he called the servant in and asked him to fish the pen out of the trash can that was right next to Charles. Just because I'm a king and kings do not, I am royalty. Royalty do not dig in the trash can. Like, that's stupid. No one was able to see. You could have dug in there. And I just think it's stupid. Why are we as people suffering and struggling to buy bread and put fuel in our cars and having a very hard economic experience? And the vast majority of us right now have no idea how we're going to buy a house. All of our parents and grandparents were able to buy houses in their time because the economy made sense. Now us, the housing market is just so crazy that when a house is properly priced, it doesn't last long. When it's a low price house, it doesn't last long at all. Houses are just too expensive for your average person to buy a house, because the majority of people don't make that kind of money, because the economy is so inflated that everything has to be more expensive and wages have to be less in order to keep competition, you know, against other companies. That's just economics 101. That's just how sadly life is going for us. But rather than fix our economy and make us stronger, they'd rather force us to become electronic vehicle users, take away our ability to defend ourselves. Meanwhile, we're paying for their defense. We're paying for them to defend themselves. I just find that very fishy. They're telling us not to do things, and we keep catching them doing the exact things they're telling us not to do. Now, I get there's lots of people. I believe it is very important for us to take care of the planet. I believe that there are ways we can clean the air, such as planting more trees, which is their whole entire purpose, is to clean the air. If we plant more trees out there, it will help out with that. If we start making like cleaner options for, you know, for like cleaning up the ocean or various things like that. Like I'm sure there are people that can figure out ways to clean the air. China doesn't. I don't know if China has trees anywhere. I don't know. I'm not knowledgeable about what China has in the form of agriculture and stuff like that when it comes down to trees. But they have some of the most polluted air in the world. India does as well. America has some pretty polluted air as well, but that's, we have lots of flights. We have lots of international flights. People come from all over the world flying here. So yeah, it makes sense. But I'm telling you, these electronic vehicles, yeah, they might leave a nice little imprint of help on the environment. But the fact is that when those batteries die, they do more damage to the earth to dispose of them than electron or regular vehicles do when they actually release carbon monoxide into the air. I just see a potentially large problem that is looming over this country. If all of us or the majority of us start using electronic vehicles, it will severely weaken us. It seems like an invasion is where we're headed. It seems like a lot of our politicians, the majority of them out there in Congress and the Senate, it seems like they are building us up to be invaded. Why do I say that? One, look what they're doing to women. In sports, they're putting males, biological males, in to compete against women. So I don't want to say defeminizing, because women are not always feminine. Women are not always these soft beings. Women have come in different shapes and sizes and personalities as well. Having said that, women are special. Women are unique. And men are unique and men are special, but in two very different ways. Our bodies are made very different. Our muscular structures are made very different. But they're taking away like the voice of women. Look at these. I don't remember if it's Ulta or Sephora. But one of these major makeup companies had two biological men talking about how important it is to be a woman or life of a woman. Two guys were talking about the life being, you know, what it's like to be a woman. And then the first, Caitlyn Jenner, when Bruce Jenner became a trans woman, the very first year that Bruce Jenner transitioned into, you know, an aesthetic woman and had, you know, top surgery and, you know, some veins removed from his head and stuff like that. His very first year, he was elected Woman of the Year. I just found that really interesting. What about all those other women who fought in wars, who saved lives, who pulled men out of fires when they were firefighters, who saved people from the brink of death or brought someone back to death? What about all those women who gave birth, who did something that literally requires them to put their own life on the line? What about those women who sacrificed their own careers so that their children can raise up and or be raised and have the attention that they need and be great mothers? What about those women who became doctors and nurses? are you serious? None of them get acknowledged. It's a guy who decides to become an aesthetic woman. He gets Woman of the Year. That's BS. And then all of a sudden we get this, you know, the Me Too movement, which comes out and just hurts the feminist movement severely. That movement did more damage than it did good. There's a lot of women out there that thought, oh yeah, well, you know, the Me Too movement actually helped women and gave women voices. No, it didn't. It decreased the number of potential female CEOs that there are going to be. Why is that? It's not saying women can't do the same jobs and performances as men. I'm not saying that at all, because that's not true. I'm saying that men, who are the majority of business owners, because we're the majority of the workforce, so of course we'd be the majority of CEOs out there, but the majority of men are not CEOs. That's a very small percentage of people who are CEOs or at all. But the thing is that the reason why Me Too hurts so much is because men who are CEOs or on the board of directors of any company do not want to walk on eggshells. Nobody wants to come to a company, men and women alike, no one wants to go to a company and walk on eggshells and be afraid of what they're going to say that's going to offend the next person. So it's comforting knowing that if you have a male who's a CEO, it's less likely that you're going to say something that's going to rub them the wrong way to where they're going to talk to HR and call you in and make you lose your job. But I've seen it too many times. I've known people this has happened to where they gave a compliment to a woman. It was a nice, friendly, innocent compliment. And the woman took it out of proportion and reported to HR. The guy lost his job. I've seen this happen. I'm not saying all women are like this, because they're not. I know they're not. I've spoken with many women who were laid down, or not laid down, excuse me, laid back, very down to earth, have a great personality. You immediately can feel you don't have to walk on eggshells around them. But of course, you need to be respectful. There's a difference. And that's why Me Too hurt, because there are lots of women who were in that movement. It started out as a noble movement of people that wanted to have a voice when, you know, they were going up against titans. They were going up against people who had incredible, you know, contacts and resources. So they needed an army behind them to have a voice. But with that came a bunch of women who wanted to get back at ex-boyfriends, at bosses who wouldn't give them position that they thought they rightfully deserved. There were people who abused it. And those few who abused it outshined the people who were sincere and were really trying to do it for the right reasons. That's often what happens. And the negative result is that fewer women get promoted to CEO positions out of fear that they're going, you know, that these guys are going to have to walk in eggshells around them. And that's really unfortunate. It's very sad. So then the feminist movement comes up. And the modern day feminist movement is not about equality anymore. It's about superiority. It's about putting down men. It's about raising up women and claiming that women are not paid the same way as men are. And then they try to like pick little parts. Now, I'm not talking about all feminists. I'm talking about modern day feminism as a movement. It is no longer about equality. These feminists are not fighting for the same type of incarceration rate for committing the same crimes that men are. That's what equality would do. Men need to be punished just like women. Women need to be punished just like men. That's what equality is. They don't want that. They say, Your Honor, I have a child. Child needs me. Please don't send me to jail. Judge goes, all right, you know what? That's okay. More often than not, that's what ends up happening. Judge goes, all right, we're going to put you on a suspended sentence. Take care of your child. You need to think about that in the future. A man goes, Your Honor, please don't send me to jail for the exact same crime. Please don't send me to jail. I have a son that needs me or a daughter that needs me. The judge goes, you should have thought about that before you committed the crime. And then they lock him up for a very long time. And then that child grows up just another child without a father figure. Women in the workplace, on average, not all, but on average, can give a compliment and say the most inappropriate things to a man. And if a man reports it to HR, nothing really happens 9 times out of 10. If a man makes a compliment to a woman, same word for word, 9 times out of 10, the man's getting written up or fired. Because, I don't know. My assumption is maybe women were in it who are making these types of complaints to HR are more likely to sue if there is no response. And men are more likely to just say, you know what, that sucks, and then leave and complain and just do nothing about it and just go look for the next way to pay their bills. this feminist movement has definitely hurt the women in the world right now, because it's made men emasculated, or it's emasculated men severely. It's now made being a strong male, quote unquote, toxic masculinity. If you're a strong man, you're now toxically masculine. And that doesn't make any sense, because a woman can be a strong, independent woman, and that's not categorized as toxic femininity. A woman can break down and talk to us like we're stupid, and that's not women-splaining. But if a man breaks down and starts talking something in detail, now it's mansplaining. So there's a big double standard there. So as a result of all of this, men ain't nothing, I don't need a man, this and that, now men are going across the world and going to different countries and finding women and dating them and bringing them back and marrying them. Men are now starting to say, I don't want an American woman, because these American women, by and by large, are entitled women who emasculate men at every chance they get. I just don't want to put up with the drama that hip hop and modern culture is doing to these women. I don't want that. Men are doing that now as a response to modern day feminism. Nobody wants to live with this type of drama, male or female. No one wants to live with drama in their own home. They want to find peace. So now, because men are, you know, it's the norm. And again, when I say the norm, I mean, this is a common thing, but it doesn't mean that it is all 100% what's going on in every woman's life. There's always exceptions, and there's always women. Like, my fiance is born and raised here, and she's my best friend. She's an incredible woman. So I know that they're there. I know there's lots of women out here that, you know, are good, honorable, strong women who do not emasculate men when they're having hard times. Having said that, it is sad that what we see on TikTok so often are women who dress in these really skimpy, seductive clothes. They go to the gym and they record themselves working out just so they know when they see a guy looking at them, they're going to blast him and say, oh my gosh, this guy's a pervert. I really wish guys wouldn't do this. Like, shut up. You're doing this for attention. You dress like that not so you can work out. You dress like that so someone would look and you'd catch them. That's why you had your camera rolling. You put out bait, and when you got what you want, you took it and ran with it. These people don't go to the gym to see you. These people go to the gym to work out. When you dress in something sensual or sexy or revealing, yes, someone's going to look, especially if you have a nice figure. People are going to look. If you don't want somebody looking, don't dress to attract the attention. If I don't want a gold digger coming after me, I should not dress with a bunch of really high-end clothing items and chains around my neck and Rolex watches and stuff like that. That's going to attract the attention of that. If you put out the bait, you're going to get the item you're hunting. That's going to happen. But because of these types of women who keep like ruling TikTok, and who keep making men worthless pieces of crap according to their own identifiers and their own words, men are going to continue to look elsewhere. And then you're seeing the other end of these women who are out there who used to be that type of woman, who are now thinking like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm lonely, I'm in my 40s, I don't have anybody, I should never have been this toxic feminist that destroyed that. Now I don't have a boyfriend, nobody wants me, now it's too late because all the good men are taken. Yeah, good men don't waste time with bad women, just like bad women don't. Well, there are a lot of good women that waste time with bad men, but smart good women will not waste time. I know, because when I was a bad guy, I had a smart good woman that didn't waste time with me. She realized I was playing games. She's like, all right, look, I don't deserve this, and I'm not going to sit here and wait for you to figure out what you want. You don't want this, I'm good. And she left. I was like, oh, wow, that sucked. But you got to respect somebody who knows who they are and knows what they bring to the table, and they're not going to waste time with the wrong person. They're going to invest time with the right person. Now, you have men now being emasculated. Toxic masculinity is now what is assigned to anybody who's a strong, independent man who works with his hands, who's a hardcore jock or whatnot. We're being emasculated. Society is emasculating men. They're putting men in dresses and telling them that, oh, it's okay, it's socially acceptable. If you want to wear a dress, go ahead. If you want to be gay, go ahead. That's your choice. But you should not put that on somebody else who doesn't want to do that. You should not try to persuade a child that they are transgender or gay when that child has no idea who they are and doesn't, like, the frontal lobe, the prefrontal cortex doesn't even finish developing until you're like, what, 25? So to sit there and tell these children that they're transgender when they don't know who they are, it's horrible, because there's tons of kids out there who have no idea who they are, and they get these what they call gender affirming care. They put all these nice little fluffy bow, like ribbons and bows on what they're doing. They're slaughtering these children. They're mutilating children. And then they're calling it gender affirming care. When's the last time you've seen CNN or MSNBC interview a child who regretted getting that that gender affirming transitionary care? I'll wait. Because I'm telling you, I've seen lots of those interviews where there are young girls who transition into boys and who hated it. They're like, I miss having my breast. I regret this. They didn't tell me what was going to happen as a result. They just did this to me, and they said that this is the right result, that this is what I should do. They didn't try to tell me to wait and think about it until I was an adult. I don't think any child should be allowed. I think it should be illegal for any child or anyone under the age of 18 to get that type of treatment. If they're serious about it, when they find out, when they're 18, when they're an adult, that's up to them. They want to do it then. But as a child, they don't know who they are. Because I'm telling you, like, the laws don't make sense. Think about this for a second. Just follow me here. They're telling you that if a minor under the age of 17 has sex, it is illegal because they're not smart enough or developed enough to consent to having sex. I agree. I think that's an important point. It is true. Yet, if that same child murders somebody, they could try him as an adult. Like, oh yeah, you're mature enough to kill somebody, but you're not mature enough to have sex. Okay, that doesn't make sense. If they're not mature enough to consent to having sex, they also shouldn't be mature enough to have the knowledge as an adult of murder. Like, one thing is more significantly serious than the other. They're saying that you're not, you know, like, as a child, you're not old enough to drink until you're 21. So you can't drink until you're 21, yet at 5 years old, 6 years old, you can go ahead and have gender affirm or be put on blockers, and a 13, 14, whatever, you can be put on the transitionary procedure. So you're telling me that a child is smart enough to say, I want to change my gender, but they're not smart enough to drink alcohol or smart enough or mature enough to smoke a cigarette? Really? They're not smart enough or mature enough to join the military. Things that require adult decisions, they're not smart enough to do, yet they can change their sex. And then you got all these people out there and going, oh, there's not just two genders. There's millions. There's thousands of genders out there. There's thousands of genders. Really? But when you go out to, you know, get the transgender surgery, how many options do you have? Because they only have two for a reason. Or for a reason, they only have two options. So why did I say this? Why did I go from electronic vehicles to this? It all goes back to the invasion end. If you emasculate men, because men are who fight the wars, whether you're a feminist or not, the fact is women do not determine wars being won. That's not what happens. Historically, men are on the front lines. You will have a woman here and there, maybe, that happens to be on the front lines. But the biggest changes, the biggest impacts of war are a result of men fighting. So if you emasculate men, if you make our military woke and make our military super soft, because in the Army, they no longer do shark attacks where multiple drill sergeants are yelling at one recruit or one private and putting them in large levels of stress. In the Marine Corps, you no longer can put your hand on the recruit, throw them up against a wall and toughen them up. You can't do that. So because the physical and level of stress that used to be in boot camp is no longer there, it's a lot softer, you're making our military softer. That's exactly what our enemies want to be done. Make your military soft so they can't stand stressful situations. Be super woke and PC so that when we don't care about their PC, they get offended and they can't operate. Oh, you can't cuss at your recruits anymore? Oh yeah, well, we're going to stress them out by cussing them out. oh, you guys all have electronic vehicles? We're going to just destroy all your electric vehicles by sending out an electromagnetic pulse. Oh, you guys don't have guns? Let's go, guys. They can't defend themselves. They're weak. They're helpless. We're going to go in there. We're going to take down their government. We're going to shut down their communications towers. Just like that movie Red Dawn. I've seen the old one and the newer one. But essentially, that's what could happen. If they mobilize our military and all of us because we've got a bunch of electronic vehicles and we don't have guns, which I'm telling you, the reason why we have not been invaded has nothing to do with who's in office. We are the most armed country in the world. More Americans have guns than those who don't. And we also have more veterans in this country. And our veterans are 100% volunteer-based. So we're not forced to go through this and learn the minimal amount of military service. We have the best military in the world. We used to. I mean, I haven't seen the military now. It's a lot softer than it used to be. So I don't know. Our special forces are still the best. I know that for sure. Our special forces, our SEALs, our MARSARC Raiders, our Delta, Army Rangers, Green Beret, the Air Force, PJs, the Coast Guard. We make fun of the Coast Guard a lot, but I'm telling you, those guys are brave. They go in, dive in, and when ships start sinking, they go after you. Those are the guys that go after you. Our Navy, like, we still got some seriously tough people in our military. But your average Marine, soldier, airman, your average member of the military is now woke and is now much softer because of the training they received. And you also have all these hover parents who will go in and complain to the first sergeant or the commanding officer and say, why are you yelling at my son? You should not be yelling at him. You don't need to be yelling at him. When they have never once in their life served or put on a uniform to fight for this country. If it were up to me, any politician that serves in office will have had to have served at least one enlistment in the military. Doesn't matter what branch, you just have to serve one term. I don't think a person should be able to be president unless they have served a term as president or in the military. How are you going to send people to their death and send people to war when you've never worn the uniform? Even Great Britain does that. All the royal members of the household, especially all the boys, they all go to war. They go into the military and they serve. Even though they have special duties or kept in special treatment and they got different jobs and stuff like that only they can get, they have a lot of special privileges in the military, so they don't experience it like everybody else. Nonetheless, they still serve. I think every president, every politician, every member of Congress should have to serve in the military at least one term. I think that's fair. I think that's reasonable. And I think that's how you really put up the best leaders, because the best leaders do come from situations like that. Hey, Darlene, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I agree. I think people have to sacrifice so that they know what we're doing here in America. And it's so unfortunate. People can lie and have people put money behind them and then get groups and organizations to support them, and they run on a ticket. Then they get in office.
Absolutely.
We're not getting anything right now. It's not about the color of your skin. It's about your status, boo. You got some money, you're going to get something.
Yep.
People with no money don't get shit. And I promise you that. And they don't even understand special education is like the golden ticket. I didn't understand it. I remember when I was young, I'm 65 now, but in June, at the end of June, I'll be 65. But
congratulations.
Thank you. But my stepfather, he was in the Air Force. And, you know, when we were in Japan, they put me in special ed. And my mother was all against it. But my stepfather said, let that girl get the support she needs. And so it was only because I talked with the Lisp, but I had speech for about, God, it wasn't even 6 months. And then they did all the tests and then they moved me up a grade. And I was with my sister. I did not like that at all. So When we moved to California, we were in Texas and we all got straight F's in Texas. Don't worry about it. Because if you black in Texas in the 60s, you was not going to get a grade. And that's just real. We went to an all black school and got straight A's. in the middle of the year, got transferred to the all white school. Got straight F's. And I remember raising my hand. I had a question. And that teacher told me I could leave it up there all day long. He wasn't going to plan on talking to me. And that's when I realized that there was something different in America when you're not in a military school. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of like, you know, people who have served or their families have been in the military, they're so nice.
That's because we get it. We get freedom.
You can communicate with them and it doesn't matter. You know who you are. But people who have not been in the military and don't know, oh my goodness, they've never even left their city block. They don't know nothing. And it's just real. It's so sad. And even if they're able to, muddle through, they don't have the time. I was gifted the time because I had a worker's comp injury, but it was really, I was working for Los Rios Community College. And I'll tell you how. I got my Social Security because I was working for the college. I had already vested. They could not just terminate me. So they gave me Social Security and a small amount of money and sent me to my place. I was working in the mailroom where the chemicals were, and we were in a portable. I had no idea that those cops gave up that mailroom. And that's why I feel sorry for those people with their train exploded. They're going to have no problems for the rest of their life. Can't breathe that shit and then not expect it not to affect you, and they're concerned about it. But guess what? The federal government needs to step in there because they need to have services, especially for children. They should not be exposed to those toxins. But because we have Pete Buttigieg, he's going to make sure that the rails are safe. He's in the military, and that's, you're right. You're absolutely right. We have to have people who have been able to put their lives on the line for America. Because it's all about being born in the USA, right?
Yeah. And that's really, like, being in the military is one of the greatest ways to show selfless service. I mean, like, one of my favorite scriptures, not to get preachy or anything, but one of my favorite scriptures is, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And when you go in the military, you're literally signing up. Like, the waiver that you have when you sign in a list, it literally says, I understand that I could be blown up, tortured, raped, killed.
That's right.
Like, it says some pretty startling words in there. So you're saying, you know, yeah, let's do it.
It's a commitment. It's a commitment to self, but it's a commitment to the future of America. And we are Americans. And when we get some of them people from the Republican Party to cross over, because they will, because they're going to break the debt limit. You understand? This is the one time those 20 Republicans, you better understand, they have no intention on stopping what they think. They want Donald back in office. He can't come back because he was a good rules violator. People like him because he violated the rules. Get real. Him, it ain't easy, but goddamn, somebody got to do it. You have a blessed day, Ross.
Thank you as well.
Nice meeting you.
Nice talking with you again.
I'll be following me, though. If you're not already following me, I'll check you later.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. I always laugh when I hear people say that Donald Trump was a rules violator, a big rules violator, because even though he keeps getting tried, they literally never have any evidence against him. They always prove that he actually didn't do what he said he did. And again, I look at facts. I don't look at this stuff with emotion. I look at with facts, whether I like him or not. The fact is that Joe Biden literally admitted on camera to doing what they charged Donald Trump with doing. And even though the transcript of that call to Ukraine was out there saying, yeah, nothing happened. There was nothing wrong with that call. It was a normal call. Biden was the one that said, hey, I told him that if he wants the help that we want to give him, he needs to fire the prosecutor that's investigating my son. And if he doesn't, he's not going to get the money. And he fired the guy. And all of a sudden, look at how many billions of dollars are being sold or sent to Ukraine. Find that very interesting. The stuff they keep saying Donald Trump did, they're literally doing. And they keep getting caught with it. So I'm just saying, like, the fact is that it's important to look at facts. It's important to look at what's really going on. And again, this whole entire episode right here was not about advocating for one side or the other. But what we do need Democrats and Republicans and independents in office who are willing to stand up and fight for the betterment of this country, fight for the people, not for party. I don't want Republicans who are who are party focused. I want Republicans who are people focused, who fight to represent the people who elected them. I want independents who are people focused, not woke focused, not Christian focused. I want people who are focused on representing the people who elected them. I want Democrats who are people focused, not lying to us and telling us, oh, we're going to make the, like Bernie Sanders always does this and people fall for it over and over again. We're going to make the wealthy pay their fair share. We're going to make all the wealthy, the top 1%, we're going to make them pay their fair share, and they're going to fund free education and this and this and this. It's funny because Bernie Sanders is super wealthy, and those Democrats that are telling you that they're going to tax the wealthy are super wealthy. In fact, if you look at the numbers, they're some of the wealthiest people in Congress. The Democratic Party are the most wealthy people. Yet they're look at how much money they make a year. Look at how long they've been in office. The amount of money they are worth and how much money they make every year does not make sense. The numbers don't add up. Something else is happening outside of our sight on both sides of the aisle. I'm just tired of corrupt politicians in general. And again, like I always say in relation to Donald Trump didn't serve. I don't like that he was able to get out of serving. I don't like that. I don't think Donald Trump's a perfect guy, but I think he was very effective in what he did. We didn't get threatened one time. We were never attacked. He didn't start a new war. We didn't deploy troops out to any country under him. Our gas went down. Our cost of living went down. We were selling oil and charging other people for fuel. We were selling and drilling oil on American soil rather than buying it from Saudi Arabia and buying it from Ukraine and Russia. We were selling them our oil. We were taxing other people. We were pulling out of treaties and deals where we were paying the bill. How many of you have friends that whenever you guys go out, you always feel you have to pay the bill, even when you don't need anything? That's one of the things I don't like. Like when I go out with friends or something like that and we split the bill, I don't judge anyone else for how they live their life or enjoy themselves. I don't drink and I don't buy alcohol. That's just my personal thing. So when I go out, if I just say, you know, I'm just going to get this, you know, this little sandwich, I'm not that hungry, I'm just going to get a sandwich and, you know, one drink and my bill is like $10. Why the heck am I going to split the bill evenly and pay $80 for $10? You guys drink like crazy. Some one person can easily drink over $100 worth of alcohol, and they're only going to pay, you know, a very significant or a very small amount of that because everyone else is paying evenly. Nah, I said, no, I'll get my own personal check. Like we will talk about that before we get out there. Like, yeah, I'm getting my own check because I don't buy alcohol. Everyone's like, oh yeah, yeah, that's cool. But why would it be fair if you only buy a simple item that costs you $10, yet you're paying $110? That's not fair. We should not be paying the majority of protection for other countries that don't have anything really to do with us. Countries that trade with other countries more should receive more money from those countries rather than us. Excuse me. I think that's just fair. Why are we like hemorrhaging money when I live in Los Angeles and my gosh, there's so many potholes in the area. It doesn't matter where you are, except for the very, very high end area. Those roads look beautiful. But normal roads, there's potholes all over the place and they come out of nowhere. You'll just be driving, all of a sudden you see a pothole 3 feet in front of you. You try to jam your brakes on. Next thing you know, your rims are bent. Because rather than fix our infrastructure and our roads like they always say in campaign that they're going to do, they don't. They'd rather spend their money trying to tell you that Trump is a horrible dude who is sold in China. In fact, if you look at the numbers at how much Trump was making, he actually lost money when he was in the White House. And his money, the amount of money that he was getting as a president, that money was all being donated to charity. He was working for free. The numbers don't lie. Yet how many other politicians left poorer than they were when they got in the White House or when they got in office? I keep seeing a lot of politicians, especially Democrats, just to be honest. I see a lot of Democrats that are becoming extraordinarily wealthy. Obama is one of those people. Obama deported far more people than Trump did. But of course, they're not going to talk about that. Kids in cages are like, oh my gosh, kids in cages, kids in cages. Trump is evil. Those cages were built in 2014 under Obama. It only came to light when President Trump was in office. And then they're like, oh, look what Trump is doing. All of a sudden, we're getting spy balloons over America. And all of a sudden, they go, oh, well, you know, there were spy balloons under the Trump's campaign. We're the ones that found them. Come on now. Nobody. My younger brother was in the Navy. And one of the things that he experienced when he was in the Navy were Chinese ships that just came out of nowhere and that were getting way too close to them. And they knew that when he was in the Navy, Trump was not in office. I believe it was Obama who was in office. But nothing would happen. They would just stand there. The Chinese would get really close by. And then they couldn't do anything to respond. They just had to sit there and deal with it because the president was soft. And they also saw Russian fighters like fly really close where you could see their faces. They flew really close to the ships where you can look them right in their faces and see them. That wasn't happening under Trump, because Trump would have said, he would have called the country's leader immediately and said, get your people away or we're going to destroy your ship. You're not pulling this crap with us, not while I'm in office. Yeah, he might have been a bully, but there are far more other bullies out there in the world as well. And sometimes you need a bully to fight a bully. And if people would just stop thinking with their emotions and think with logic, you'll see Trump was the guy we needed. He didn't always say that. Like, he just made a statement about Rihanna and her Super Bowl halftime show. I was like, why do you need to say anything about that? Dude, shut up. Nobody cares what you think about Rihanna performing in the halftime show. I don't care. All I care is, can you do the job? And you did a darn good job. You did a darn good job of keeping our country safe and prospering us. And as soon as Biden got in office, he wiped out everything Trump did and started, like, he stopped our oil sales. He stopped the oil fracking. He stopped tons of jobs. And all of a sudden, voila, COVID was not a big problem anymore. And the vaccine, the truth came out about it, that it didn't really work. All this stuff that they were trying to put down and tell you that Trump is out of his mind and he's evil and all this stuff like that, come to find out, Trump was right. He told everybody that if you elect Biden, the inflammation is going to go up the likes of you, likes that you've never seen. Here we are. Biden's selling us out. So are a lot of other politicians, Republican and Democrat alike. There are lots of them that are selling us out. And I believe it is to get us invaded when this whole plan is done. The plan doesn't happen in one term. The plan happens, you know, in sections, in little, in waves. The plan happens in waves. Wave number one, take away the value of women. Put men in those sports and shut women up. Don't give them a voice. If they complain, call them homophobic, call them all these names so that you shame them into silence. That's wave one. Take away the voices of women. Make women so strong in America that men want nothing to do with them. Phase two. Phase three, emasculate men. Put men that everyone wants to be like in dresses. Force men to become more feminine by saying that if you're a strong man, you're toxically masculine. So if you emasculate our men, our military gets weaker. Phase three or phase four, I forgot what number I'm on. Make our military weaker by softening the training. We'd rather have some soft soldiers who are woke and sensitive rather than heartless warriors who will go and fight and get the job done. I signed up in the Marine Corps because when 9/11 happened, I wanted to join. I was too young. I couldn't do it. They wouldn't let me. But as soon as I was 17 years old, they came looking for me and I was willing to answer that call. I wanted to do my part to make sure that when anyone opened a present, they didn't have to worry about anthrax or an explosive going off because of insurgents or terrorists trying to do that and hurt us. Rather than complain about the problem of all the enemies out there in the world, I signed up, put on a uniform, sacrificed my freedom so that everyone else can have theirs. In fact, I had a statement that I made on LinkedIn this person on LinkedIn actually, she, so there's this, this strip mall that came up. Where is it at? There's a strip mall that came up with like an all black designers, all black female designers. So that's, it's just really interesting. That's something that actually happened. And this woman told me, and I said that because it's all black strip mall, all black, you know, designers in a strip mall. I told her that this is not good for, congratulations to them, but it's not a very good thing for a country because we are self-segregating. We are isolating ourselves from other people. Black owned brands are just as good to be sold as Asian brands, white brands, or any other brand. They deserve to be in the same places, not separate like that. We are self-implementing Jim Crow laws all over again. And this woman told me I'm a self-hating black person. And I just laughed and I said, nothing could be further from the truth. I was like, I never said anything about black brands being bad. I was talking about it's important for us to be together because if it weren't for white people, like white people, white cultures, we would not have, you know, organized government. We wouldn't have the Constitution of the United States. If it weren't for the Chinese, we wouldn't have fireworks or gunpowder. If it weren't for blacks, we wouldn't have the stoplight. We wouldn't have the cell phone because a critical piece of technology that was needed to make a cell phone came from a black inventor, a black engineer. We wouldn't have Latinos. We wouldn't have the color TV. We wouldn't have like a number of other things. Like there's so much that I wrote because I looked it up and I wrote this statement, and this woman started insulting my mother and saying all these other things. And I said, as a veteran, I respect your right. I fully support your right to insult my mother. I don't appreciate how you're using that right, but I fully respect your right. Because a lot of us forget. We think that free speech means you can say what you want as long as I like it. That's not what free speech is. I do not support racism. I don't appreciate racism, but I would stand between a mob of angry people of color and between the Ku Klux Klan shouting racist stuff at me because I defend free speech. Free speech is free even if you don't like it. That's what my brothers and sisters fought, bled, and died for. I will defend the right of a devil worshiper just like I will the right of a Christian because free speech is what we fought for. So I try to remind people of those things. You don't have to agree with somebody to live side by side with them. Because think about it, when you go to the hospital, do you ever think about whether or not your doctor is atheist or a Christian or if they're Republican or Democrat? You don't even think to ask. You don't care. You just care about if the doctor can do the job. You don't know this doctor from Adam. You don't know if this doctor is cheating on their spouse. You don't know if they have tons of STDs that they are being treated for at the current time. You don't know if they got over COVID in the last 4 days. You'd have no idea of this person's life. You just see the white coat and you go, okay, I just want you to do a good job and make me better. That's all you care about. So why is the standard so low on someone who's like someone you trust enough to put your entire life in their hands, yet you have such a high unrealistic standard on the president of the United States when it's Donald Trump? If Donald Trump were to say, well, if you ain't voting for me, then you ain't black, I guarantee you he never would have made it into office. Yet Biden said that, made it into office. Black people ain't making a big deal about it as a majority. He was just saying that was a stupid statement. And then that's it. Think about that for a second. All you care about for a doctor or a nurse is can they do their job? Rather than what do you believe? What do you like? How do you feel? Who do you serve? What God do you believe in? You don't care about none of that. You just care about can they do the job? So as a president, I don't care who you follow, what you believe, or whether or not you're gay or straight. I don't care that Pete Buttigieg is gay. I can care less. Can he do the job? If Trump is getting the worst hands from, and like known to man, if some like graffiti artist comes up and just paints his whole body with, you know, with like primer, like orange primer or whatever, I don't care. Can he keep us safe? Can he protect our country? Can he make us money? and can he increase how much money we're able to make? Can he make us better? Can he make us stronger? Can he do his job? That's all that matters to me. Like I say all the time, when I had buddies that were coming out to me in the closet, coming out of the closet to me back in the time of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, when I was in the military, I could care less. I told them, I don't care. I appreciate you being, you know, vulnerable to tell me, but I don't care. All I care is that your weapon is facing the same enemy as mine, that you have my back like I have yours, that we're side by side fighting together. That's all that matters to me. I think we need to stop putting these unrealistic, like, because I'm pretty sure if all your dirty laundry aired out and for everybody else to see, I'm pretty sure everybody else that sees your dirty laundry would look down upon you. Everybody's got some bad laundry. Everybody says stupid things and everybody makes poor choices. That's just part of life. But the difference is that we need to hold people to realistic expectations rather than thinking that the president of the United States has to be perfect. They don't. They have to be effective. They have to do their job right. Because look at how many politicians are in office right now. I'm telling you, if you were to do the type of performance that they're doing in your company, you'd be fired. Republicans and Democrats. There are both sides of the aisle that are pulling this crap. You'd be fired. So going back to the original point, these waves are silencing our women, they're emasculating men, they're weakening our military, and now they're making us easy targets by taking away our firearms, our rights to bear firearms, our rights against free speech, because largely if you misgender somebody because you refuse to identify them as a bottlenose dolphin, because that's how they identify, a bottlenose dolphin is, that's their gender pronouns, and they want to keep creating new stuff. Each week they create a new gender pronoun. If you say the wrong thing, now you're going to get fired, or you're something, and they're going to create a new type of phobe, even though the word homophobic means fear of homosexuals, has nothing to do with bigotry or like prejudice against them. Like, that's the new society that we're living in right now. They're trying to silence our free speech. And they're calling us fascists, but literally, they're enforcing fascist theology upon us. I love Americans. I love non-Americans. I love people. Whether you believe what I believe or whether you serve who I serve, whether you love the type of people I love, I don't care. As I always talk about and say, I have an incredible friend that I love dearly who is gay. And I told him, I don't see him as my gay friend. I see him as my friend who happens to be gay. Gay does not define you. Straight does not define you. The only thing gay says about you is that you sleep with people, or you prefer to sleep with people who have the same gender as you, or biological gender as you. That's all that tells me. And that doesn't matter. It doesn't tell me what kind of person you are. It doesn't tell me if you're an honest, trustworthy person. It doesn't tell me if you would pull over to help a stranger change a tire. It doesn't tell me that if you're patriotic and you go to war and fight so that your kids don't have to. It doesn't tell me that you're a good provider. It doesn't tell me you're a hard worker. It doesn't tell me that I can trust you with my life if I'm about to die and I need CPR. It doesn't tell me anything important. It just tells me that you like to sleep with people of the same sex. That's irrelevant. It's pointless. So I really wish people would stop fighting into this narrative that is leading us into being overrun by another country. That's literally what's about to happen if we don't wake up. Please do not go out and invest in an electric vehicle just to fall in compliance with this stuff. It's only helping further this problem. Electric vehicles are not going to save the environment like you think. They're going to make China lots of money as they make the batteries that we put in those vehicles. And then when we recycle those batteries and destroy them destroy them and stuff like that, it costs a lot of money and it causes a lot of pollution. That's got to go somewhere, and it causes a lot of pollution. So it's not helping. It's a business plan that weakens you. Don't give away your guns just because the government's asking for them. Fight back. Stand strong. You have the right to bear arms. It is an intangible right that says this right shall not be infringed by anyone. So I really wish there was an attorney who was willing to fight this case and take it to the Supreme Court that if you have not misused a firearm in the commission of a crime, you shall never lose your Second Amendment for any crime outside of that. That's not fair. I really wish it were the law as well, because I'm telling you, I think every one of us will look at things differently if it were illegal for the news to report false narratives or false news, if it were illegal for politicians to lie, especially when acting on an official basis. Like if they're in Congress, in the actual Hall of Congress, or in an actual session, or doing a hearing, if they lie, that should be a crime. And they should get arrested. It should be an automatic arrest. If you're proven to be lying, yeah, you're getting arrested. And it's a severe sentence. I'm telling you, if they were to do that, our government would be very, very different. Don't believe that guns are bad. Guns are not bad. More crimes happen with knives than guns. You don't hear people saying, oh, an assault knife was used today in the commission of a robbery at Bank of America. It was horrible. This guy came out, he had a butter knife, and he decided to butter everyone's biscuits. And then he threw it at people and started hitting them in the head with it. Like that stuff doesn't, you don't ever hear that on the news. You hear, they're looking, oh, gunfire. A person was killed with an assault rifle today. It was horrible. They walked up and shot a person. And then all of a sudden you find out later on, it was a paintball gun. It wasn't a real rifle. It was a paintball gun. But you won't hear them retract and say, we just learned that the weapon used in the assault last night was actually a paintball gun. Let's go live to Beverly on the scene with more. Beverly? Yes, it was very incredible. We were waiting outside and a person was shooting. We heard loud bangs and didn't realize, because I've never heard a gunshot, I didn't realize that they were paintballs. My bad. Back to you in the studio. Thanks a lot, Beverly. We appreciate your help. You're an idiot. You're fired. And thank you for staying with us. Stay classy, San Diego. I would love to hear the news recant and contractor stories. That would be very funny to me. I'd love to hear a news anchor. We were wrong. My bad. I would love an apology, too, for all the crap that the people who refused to get poked by that forced medication for, you know, the Rona. I really wish they would be like, hey, we thought this was actually what was supposed to happen. A lot of you guys lost your jobs and were unable to pay your bills and stuff like that because of our miscalculations. And we jumped too early at the gun and we apologize. We were wrong. I would love that. That'd be so nice. And it would show really good, you know, really good form. But of course, they're not going to do that. Why? It doesn't make them any money. And it makes it calls into question just how accurate they are. And nobody wants that as a news network. Yeah, I just really need to get that off my chest, just because it's really obvious to me that that's what's actually happening. They're weakening us for a reason, and they're getting paid by somebody. If it's China, which I believe it is, it wouldn't be a surprise, especially considering, and I've talked about this with someone before, that China owns a lot of our ports. Yeah, technically it does not. We own our ports. We own everything, all of our land. America owns that land. Having said that, the companies that import and export largely in our ports are run by people who are Chinese. So essentially, they are in charge of what comes in and out. So it's really interesting. There's a lot of stuff going on that, you know, would be an episode for another day. But I just want everyone to realize that this is actually a real threat. These electronic vehicles that are being pushed down our throats. Meanwhile, the people that are telling us to be in these electronic vehicles are flying in private charter jets that put out way more pollution than hundreds of cars could put out. These people that are telling us we need to give away our guns and stop using guns, guns are bad, and they want to outlaw guns, are being protected by people with AK-47s. You know, with AKSUs, with AR-15s, M16A2s, with 6 Sauer P227, P226, with all these different firearms. They're being protected by these, and sometimes rocket launchers. They have that kind of stuff in various vehicles, depending on who it is. And these people that are telling you you need to give away your guns, they have guns. They carry. The hypocrisy is real. Don't fall into it. Don't fall for it. Open your eyes, do your own research, and please wake up, because this is a real threat. You might not like what I'm saying, but it doesn't make it less true. You might not like Trump. That's okay. You have the right to not like Trump. But again, use the same kind of, you know, consideration you would with your doctor, because your life is worth more than politics. And if you're not criticizing your doctor and asking all these impersonal questions, I want to see your tax returns. When's the last time you paid taxes, Dr. Seuss? I want to know. I want to know when you made a phone call last night. Was it to a Ukrainian person? Did you help a Ukrainian patient? Did you charge that patient? I want to know. You're not asking the doctor that stuff. You're saying, hey, doctor, I got a headache. What's wrong with me? That's it. Use the same kind of, you know, expectations on the president. If the president can do their job, don't worry about all the nonsense in between. No president's perfect. Like I said, Trump says a lot of stupid stuff that I don't like. But when it comes down to it, the man's accurate in what he does as fulfilling his job. He's very effective, and that's what we need. We need effective. We don't need someone who's woken and super politically correct. We need somebody who's different, like that's not a politician, someone who speaks your mind, even though it might not be something you agree with. It's what he thinks. That's what I respected. I respected that a dude would speak what he thought. I used to love watching his press conferences. Well, I don't remember the last time I saw Biden take questions that weren't scripted. I don't remember at all. It's interesting. I don't think I've ever seen that. But I remember watching like reporters come up and ask Trump all these really messed up questions, and Trump will go, "Your network sucks." And no one, he would say like, "No one, your ratings are horrible. You should be ashamed of yourself. No one believes what you're saying. They're waking up and they're smart enough to not fall for your crap. Next question. Sit down. Excuse me. Next question. Get him out of here." Meanwhile, I used to love watching him come back after getting tan. You see like the little small eye goggles that he had on. You can still see the little outline, like a kind of like a raccoon. I just thought that was hilarious. I was like, oh, he just got sprayed. Like, he went to the body shop and just got, you know, a car dealer just sprayed his body. Hey, the guy had some funny things about him, but the fact is, again, he was effective, and that's all that matters to me. If you do the job, if you're effective, that's all that matters. I don't care anything else about your personal life. All that matters to me is, can you do the job? That's what we're voting for. We need to stop voting for people who make all these, you know, these empty promises and keep doing the same crap. Republican or Democrat, whatever the case may be, these people have a track record. Look at the track record. They keep saying, oh, I did this and I did this. No, you didn't. There's a group of people that did that. If you spearheaded a bill, like if you personally wrote a bill and it got passed and that bill helped this country get better, okay, you got a track record of results. Good. But if you happen to just support a bill that, you know, somebody else wrote, like, all right, well, you didn't write that bill. You didn't pass that bill. You helped pass it. There's a big difference. So with that being said, I just wanted to say it's really important to pay attention to what the government's doing right now, because it really does seem like they are selling us out to be invaded to the highest bidder. That's honestly what I feel, and that's honestly what it seems like. Everything's lining up for that. Because if we don't have guns to defend ourselves, if we're all using electric vehicles that can all be taken out by an electric magnetic pulse, and there's not families anymore because of the fact that, you know, men hate or women hate men, and men are tired of women over here, and men are too soft to actually do anything because being a strong man is toxically masculine. This is the kind of stuff that they're trying to put on everyone. This is the narrative that they're trying to put on all of us. And if we're not careful, we are going to be very ripe for destruction. Look at the history of every country that has fallen. It's always happened as a result of pride. Napoleon could have easily destroyed every one of his opponents. But because of pride, because he thought that he could outlast and outman and outpower the Russians, he didn't get ready for the cold winter that they had to endure, and his people died. Lots and lots of people died because of his pride. historically, pride has always led to the destruction of countries, of nations, of empires. This is not a time to be proud. This is a time to be humble so that we can see what needs to be fixed. If you are conservative, it's time to start speaking with liberals in a civil conversation. This is why I do this show, to remind people that it's important to have conversations, to exchange ideas. I might not always agree with people's ideas, but I welcome them. I welcome feedback. I welcome people talking. This is how we grow. It's important for us to have differences of opinion, because what we're doing by exchanging ideas, that's actually what Congress is supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be exchanging ideas with dialogue, talking with each other. They're not supposed to be smutting each other up. They're supposed to be talking with each other, working together to find the common good. And if one person, just one person, were to listen to this episode and go, you know what? He's right. I need to expand my mind more. My show was a success. It's really interesting. I got a lot of people right now listening in Ukraine. I was shocked when I saw the statistics on my show, and I saw that there's a lot of people listening in Ukraine. Maybe because I've actually said the word Ukraine and it's kind of picked up over there, and people are like, he's talking about us. This is very good. I want to listen to this guy. Wait a minute. He's telling us he does not want us to receive money from America. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying let's take care of ourselves first, so that we can help everybody else more, because we got a lot of problems here. You know, you don't sacrifice your rent money to help the homie out. You got to take care of the rent first and pay your bills first. Then whatever you have left over, that's what you use to help the neighbors out. That's what we're trying to do first. Yeah, but we really need help. Yeah, you also have lots of other allies and lots of other people that you deal with that you could get money from them as well. But America is the one that gives us all the money. I know, we need to stop. Hey, screw you, guy. You don't know everything. I'm just kidding. I love you guys. I'm really grateful for every one of you, and I really appreciate that you could all be anywhere you want to be. And I'm grateful that rather than be somewhere else, you're right here with me. Thank you for inviting me into your homes, into your ears, into your jobs, into your cars, and into your lives, and hopefully into your hearts. I hope you all had a very good Valentine's Day, and I'm gonna go see The Lion King and the Hollywood Pantages Theater, the musical. I'm going to go see that tonight. I'm looking very much forward to that. That's my Valentine's Day gift for my fiance. So we're going to have a great time tonight. It's going to be awesome. I'm happy. Well, thank you so much. I hope you have a great evening. This is Real Talk with RJ, signing off.